The honey guide is a wild bird native to Africa and Asia. Incredibly, these wild birds naturally respond to calls from human honey hunters and lead them to bees' nests. The people subdue the bees and get the honey, while the birds take the leftover wax. Connie Orbach spoke with University of Cape Town researcher Claire Spottiswood, who's been out to Mozambique to study the phenomenon. Brrr, huh?
So that was the sound of a Jawa honey hunter in the Nyasa National Reserve in northern Mozambique, and he was summoning a bird from the bush to help him. And you then heard the chattering of a small brown bird, the greater honey guide, which is an intriguingly odd species. Its favourite food is wax, and it cooperates with our own species to get it. So honey guides love wax, and they know where bees' nests are located, but they're not much good at doing battle with the bees to get it out of their nests. Whereas humans, by contrast, as everyone knows, love honey and are experts at getting into bees' nests with the help of fire and tools. So the bird, through its calls and behaviour, indicates the location of bees' nests to human honey hunters. And in turn, humans use their sophisticated tools and fire to create smoke to subdue the bees, to open the nest and expose the wax for the honey guides and the honey for the humans.
That's amazing. And so these honey guides are wild?
Yes, they're not domesticated or tamed or taught or coerced in any way.
And you've been studying this. What have you been looking into?
Well, our aim was to distinguish whether honey guides could specifically recognise and respond appropriately to signals directed at them by honey hunters. So we recorded a number of honey hunters making that special sound. And then we recorded the same individual honey hunters giving arbitrary noises that we asked them to call out. And these were either their names or the words in the local Jawa language for honey and honey guide. So if honey guides specifically recognize the information content of the brr hm sound, then they should be more likely to respond to a human making that sound versus other arbitrary human sounds that don't carry the same specific meaning.
And you found that there was a relationship between that specific sound that I'm not going to do because I'm going to make a fool of myself, as opposed to the control sounds you used.
Yes, when we made the brr hm call, we were twice as likely to be guided by honey guides compared to the control sounds. Not only that, but when we made these arbitrary human noises or arbitrary animal noises, honey guides often lost interest and stopped guiding us. So the upshot of all that was that the overall chance of being shown a bee's nest by a honey guide was actually more than tripled, from around a 16% success rate to a 54% success rate.
So this need for a specific word, does that mean there's some sort of language going on? Are the honey hunters speaking to the honey guides?
Certainly, from a layman's perspective, i.e. my perspective as someone who's not a linguist, it certainly does seem like a kind of proto-language where both species understand these specific signals that they're giving to one another.
And so what do you think led to this interaction? Is it just a behavioural adaptation that the birds learn through their lifetime, or do you think there's more to it than that?
Well, honey guides, they're also brood parasites. So like cuckoos, they lay their eggs in other birds' nests and foist the cost of raising their young onto other species. So one intriguing consequence of this brood parasitic start to life is that honey guides don't have the opportunity to learn from their own parents. So our best guess is that their propensity to guide humans is probably genetically inherited. Having said that, we've now seen a remarkable local adaptation to a specific signal used by a particular human population coexisting with honey guides. And again, this is only a guess, but our best guess is that those local refinements are probably acquired through learning rather than being genetically inherited.
So if this is a evolutionary adaptation, that gives me the idea that this should have been going on for a very, very long time. How long have the honey hunters been cooperating with birds, and where did their language come from?
So to answer your first question about the age of the human honey guide association in general, well, it's hard to say, but it's probably very ancient indeed. But you also asked me about the origin of the particular call that humans use to cooperate with honey guides. And I've asked this question to the Jawa honey hunters in Mozambique on many occasions, and they always say to me, well, you know, we do it because our dads did it, they learnt it from their dads, and we really have no idea. It's just something that we do. Intriguingly, they also say, no one will disturb this thing. What it emphasises is that there's no incentive for any individual honey guide to use any other signal because, of course, they'll end up finding less honey. So there's a sort of positive reinforcement that maintains that language in the population.
I find that so fascinating. That's Claire Spottiswood speaking with Connie Orbach about her study published in the journal Science.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Chris Smith, and with Kat Arney. If you'd like to get in touch, you can email chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Now, we're moving on to the main part of the show and a look at the fuels of the future. The company BP predicts that 88% of transport will be fueled by oil until at least 2035. But the sorts of fuels we'll be using and how we transport them are changing. And this week, we'll find out how.